You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks. I'm your host, James Marcina, and this is episode 193. On today's show, we're going to talk about the first regular season game of the year. The Knicks, if you can believe it, lost. But they lost to an interesting foe, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the new home of Carmelo Anthony. So we're going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about the rotations that Hornacek set up. We're going to talk about how Kristaps Porzingis looked, about how Tim Hardaway looked. We're going to give you guys the narratives from the game, the dominant narratives. It'll be fun. Stick around. Let's start the show.
Yes!
So the Knicks lost to the Thunder 105-84. It's a 21-point difference, if my math is correct. No big shocker there. But how did they do it? That's the thing this year, right? It's not the loss itself, but it's the how and the why. What happened? Did we learn some things? Did we make some progress? What's going on? What was the narrative from the game? If we had a lot of money, I would, like, just, like, F you money, you know what I mean? I would hire a Weird Al to do a Blink 182 parody, and it would, you know, be him going like, "What's my narrative? What's my narrative?" I don't have the rest of the parody lyrics, that's why I'm wanting to hire Weird Al. But picture that playing, and now we're going to give you the narratives from the Knicks 105-84 loss to Oklahoma City. The first is Jeff Hornacek's coaching decisions with respect to the rotations. And by that, I mean, where are the kids? Where are the children that we spoke so much about? Where is the youth? All right, let's break it down. Let's walk you through it. So first, the starting lineup. We got Ramon Sessions at point guard, Tim Hardaway Jr. at shooting guard, Courtney Lee at the 3, KP at the 4, Cantor at the 5. Fine. No surprises there. From the preseason, we knew this was going to happen. Sessions starting over Frank. We'll get to that later. The right decision, totally fine. Cantor over Billy, you can argue it, but whatever. You know, as long as Billy gets his minutes, right? That's cool. All right, let's keep going. The first substitution was, interestingly enough, not the nightmare scenario of Kyle O'Quinn, but Lance Thomas. Coming in for Hardaway, who picked up 2 quick fouls. So not a great beginning to the game for Hardaway, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Alright, I'm okay with that. You know, you slide Lee over to the 2. You bring in Lance, another defender. You know, you're trying to have a defensive unit out there. That's cool. The next substitution is McDermott and Baker for KP and Sessions. So McDermott and Baker come in. McDermott, alright, wasn't expecting to see him, but, you know, the 3 spot is getting weird. It's getting funky. Thought Carmelo Anthony, you know, it's getting a little dusty. But why is Baker coming in before Frank? Why is he taking over for Ramon Sessions first? Like, that's weird. You know, Frank didn't play a lot in the preseason, hardly at all, but Baker didn't either. He played more recently than him, I guess. And I might as well get this caveat out of the way. This is one game, okay? One game of, I forget how many. I hear it's a lot. There should probably be fewer. Only one game, but the decisions that Hornacek made are weird, and they point me in a direction of like, what are you doing? I don't feel like you know what you're doing. But let's continue. So why is Baker coming in for Frank first? All right, sort of strange. Then Beasley comes in for Lance Thomas. And, poor Beasley. He comes in, he drains a shot, like a 3 with his foot on the line. I'm not sure if they counted it. or not. Not really what would wind up being the story, because he immediately hurt his ankle. He landed on Russell Westbrook's foot coming down from the shot. And it didn't look that bad on replay. Like, he definitely, you know, it buckled. But he seemed pretty hurt. So I hope he's all right. But what was amazing, and like so Beasley, he was only on the court for 1 minute. And he drained the shot. He hurt his ankle immediately. The Knicks go down defense. I forget what happens, but they get the ball back. And he's just hopping on 1 foot, calling for the ball. And it's just so Beasley. I bet he would have hit it too. But they didn't call timeout for some reason. I was like, are they paying attention to what's going on? He's clearly hurt. I don't know if they were like, oh, just Beasley being Beasley, hopping around over there. That was strange. Not a big deal, but a little weird. So Beasley gets hurt, and here's when I lose my shit, because Kyle O'Quinn comes in for Beasley. And it's just, why? Why does Billy Hernan Gomez not come in for Beasley in this situation? Why is Kyle O'Quinn coming in before him? This makes no sense to me. So I'm, like, on edge right now with these rotations, these substitution patterns. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Still haven't seen Frank, but okay, it's the first quarter. Second quarter starts, Frank gets in only for a few minutes and does not look very good, which I'm not worried about. It's why I said he shouldn't start. Like, he didn't play at all in the preseason. 19, you know, going up against Russell Westbrook. It's fine that he didn't start. He shouldn't have started. Didn't look great. They took him out. Fine. But then he doesn't get back in the game until there's 2.5 minutes left in the game. He only played 8 minutes total in a 20-point loss. Billy Hernan Gomez, I thought, was going to get a DNP and basically did. He only came in with 3.5 minutes left in the game. Why? Damian Dotson, the very promising-looking second-round pick, gets in with 2.5 minutes left in the game. Why? The Knicks lost by 20. Were they going to lose by like 785 if you played the young kids? Hornacek after the game, I didn't see his interview. I'm only basing this off of a tweet. I'm recording this like very soon after the game was finished on Thursday night. But Hornacek said Cantor and O'Quinn earned their minutes based on preseason play, which is just such a stupid excuse. I guess if Billy Hernan Gomez was doing some bullshit, like throwing a temper tantrum in practice, and he doesn't want to like call him out in public, then fine. This makes sense that he's saying this. But if this is what he's actually basing it on, he's an idiot. I mean, I don't know how else to put this. O'Quinn didn't outplay Billy Hernan Gomez in the preseason. He didn't. And his Cantor looked okay, but so did Billy Hernan Gomez. He had something like 19 points and 17 rebounds per 36. He didn't get a lot of playing time. I'm not sure why. But to say he didn't earn it, but O'Quinn earned it, is ridiculous. Again, it's only one game, but why are the kids not playing? Like, I hope this changes on Saturday and I don't have to talk about this anymore. But I just hate the foot that we got off to with Hornacek and who he's playing and why. I hate it. It's only one game, but I hate it. What the fuck is he doing? I'm sorry. Pardon my Italian. But it's... I don't get it. You guys are listening to Locked On Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, your stories. Every freaking day. What are the other narratives from Thursday's game against Oklahoma City? Well, we talked about a bad one, but there was a great one. And that's Kristaps Porzingis. A lot of talk about him, you know, being the guy this season. This is the first season that he's the guy. It's Guy Fieri up in this piece, right? Huh? Guy Pierce, right? Guy Friday, right? Guy Hebert, right? For you hockey heads out there. And he looked good. KP looked really good. 31 points, 12 rebounds, 1 block. That block was a ferocious sunning of Carmelo Anthony, who, by the way, he sunned. Like, Carmelo, yeah, he had 22 points on 8 for 20 shooting, but he was only a plus one in a 20-point victory. Meanwhile, George, Westbrook, and Adams were all in the plus 20s. The other starter, Roberson, who's completely garbage on offense, but a good defender, a very good defender, was plus 3, so more than Melo's, plus 1. Melo ain't that great on offense anymore, but he gets the usage.
He soaks up those possessions.
And KP, he affected him a lot. He made him look a little silly a couple times. Like I said, he sunned the hell out of him on one of his blocks. It was the sunning of the night. Melo airballed a 3 over KP's reach. Melo blew a dunk. It was the first shump of the game. That's what we call blown dunks around here. Get used to it. Melo traveled at one point. And there was a 24-second shot clock violation. Because he was scared about KP. The blown dunk was something where KP was taking away his jump shot wisely. Because you know Melo wants to shoot that jump shot. And he's not a great finisher at the rim anymore. He was taking away the jump shot. So Melo got by him a couple times. But one of those times, he heard those footsteps, he blew a dunk. He ran to Kylo Quinn one time, and he got the foul call, but I don't think he should have. Now that he's not on the Knicks, he's going to get all the foul calls. But KP did a really good job against him defensively, I thought. And he got his buckets. He had a rough start. He airballed a 3 very early on. He got triple-teamed and like threw the ball to nowhere in the paint. It was weird. But then he settled down, and he got into just a groove. And he looked very smooth. For one thing, he wasn't settling for jumpers. Like, he wasn't jittery at all. Like, oh, I gotta pull the trigger, I'm scared. He was 7-for-9 from the line. So, you know, he was attacking the rim. And he just looks like a load. He looks like a big dude. He looks like a big, smooth load. Pardon my Italian. And he looks confident in his body. Like, he just looks in control of it. His handle looks tight. Again, his 7-foot-3 handle looks tight. He was, like, dancing around with Adams guarding him at one point. Out on the wing. And I just wanted him to cross him up so bad and drive to the hoop. There's plenty of time for that. But he pulled it back and he's like, alright, I don't quite have it here, so I'm going to give it up. But he looks in control. He had one very nice pass to a cutting Doug McDermott, which was unfortunately his only assist. But the Knicks in general did not have a great night moving the ball. I'd have to dig into the stats more to like really break it down for you. But there are a lot of like between Cantor... and Hardaway jacked up a couple shots. Not a great night of ball movement for the Knicks. But KP, you know, 31 points, 12 rebounds, nothing to sneeze at. And he was only 2-for-6 from 3. So not his hottest shooting night, and he still had a big effect on the game. A wonderful narrative for us Knicks fans. A not-so-wonderful narrative were turnovers. The Knicks had 25 as a team. It's quite a few turnovers. Cantor and Baker led the team with 4 turnovers each. Ramon, don't call me Jeff Sessions, had 3 turnovers. The starting point guard, between him and... So the Baker and Sessions, who got all the point guard minutes, had 7 turnovers between them. Not putting up... You know, Westbrook had 7 turnovers tonight, but he also recorded a triple-double. These guys did not, needless to say. And Frank only got 8 minutes. Okay. 6 other Knicks had 2 turnovers. And 2 Knicks had 1 turnover. So everyone in this ungodly, gangly rotation had a turnover tonight. Another, narrative strand from the game was Tim Hardaway Jr., who could not have started worse. I'm not so worried about it. But it was a very bad game for him. Let's just be honest. Short memory. Move on to the next one. He had 8 points, 0 rebounds, 1 assist, 5 fouls, 2 turnovers. He was 3-for-10 from the field and 2-for-7 from beyond the arc. He had a bunch of careless passes, like these weird like hook shot, cross court, soft lobs destined to be picked off. In general, he just looked a little sloppy, like a little bit out of control. His one-on-one defense was okay, and his plus-minus actually was, minus 6, and they lost by 21, so not the worst. Of the starting lineup, he had the best plus-minus. Porzingis was minus 17, Cantor minus 22, Sessions minus 23. Courtney Lee, who played like the whole game, was minus 22. I mean, Porzingis had 38 minutes for some reason. In this game where you couldn't find minutes for your young guys, one of which is Porzingis, by the way, he should have played like 3 less minutes. What's he doing playing 38 in a blowout loss? I don't know. I did not like this performance from Jeff Hornacek. That's all I'll say. Ron Baker defensively looked very active. He had 3 steals. That's a lot of steals. Let me double check that number for you. Ronnie Bakes, 3 steals. That's right. But he had 4 turnovers. Like I said, he looked careless with the ball. He was somehow +4 in 20-plus minutes, the highest on the team. And so is Doug McDermott, interestingly enough, in 20-plus minutes. So, eye test, I was like, man, you look like garbage on offense, especially as a pick-and-roll ball handler. Defense, you hustled. I'm surprised the Knicks were up in those 20 minutes, but not shocked. That's basically the Ron Baker story. I'm surprised that the team did all right with him on the court, but I'm not completely shocked. Team defense, it was basically exactly what we would expect. Not great. It started especially ragged with a lot of missed rotations, confused-looking players. It cleaned it up a little bit as the first quarter went on, but you saw what happened out there. Individual breakdowns. They weren't getting as decimated on every single screen. And it wasn't just like a non-stop parade of wide-open three-pointers. But everyone looked slow and confused. No shockers there. You know, as the great Western philosopher Tom York once said, no surprises there. So that's it for the game. You know, they lost to Oklahoma City by 20. No great shame. Kristaps looked great. That was awesome. Jeff Hornacek, like, what the hell was he doing? Only one game, but very concerned. Let's see what happens on Saturday. Tim Hardaway, new acquisition, did not look great. Only one game. Let's see what happens on Saturday. I just hope the young kids play. That's really distressing me right now. But we'll see what happens. Again, it's only one game. There's always tomorrow. It's only a couple minutes away at this point. It's 11:40 as I say this right now. But thank you guys for listening very much. This has been another episode of Locked On Knicks. The only Knicks podcast that you need, let's face it. Right? What are you doing with those other podcasts? They don't love you like I love you. Wait. They don't love you like I love you. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks. Check out NBA Injury Report on Twitter. It's another wonderful Twitter account. And join us tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!